This is the Generation Example Podcast.
I know what it's like to be around friends and, you know, maybe people not really care about me. I know what it's like to be in a family and be overlooked. And if we all really kind of think about it for a minute, I believe all of us at some point will experience what it means to be invisible. Not in a superhero sense, but really in a relational sense with our friends and our family. And there may be some of you in here where even today, you came in here, maybe you snuck into the back, or maybe you sat down one of the chairs, and nobody said anything to you. And maybe you were sitting there, maybe you're new, and you were hoping that somebody would say hi to you, but nobody did. There's other people that are here, and you know, maybe you've been at this church forever, maybe you feel really connected, but there has been a time in your life where maybe you moved, or maybe you went to a new school or a new church, a new neighborhood, and you totally get it. You felt invisible. You were hanging around with people, nobody really knew you. You were surrounded by people, but nobody acknowledged you that you were there. And there may be others of you, you're like, what is he talking about? I always feel connected. I'm always visible to everybody. Everybody always knows me. And I want to encourage you that this comfortable season that you're in won't last forever. Eventually, you're going to go off to college, or you're going to move, or you're going to get a new career or a job, or something's going to happen where it's going to put you in a place where you don't know everybody. And you will feel invisible. Now, we all like to be seen. There's something in us that wants people to see us, because when people see us, when they know us, when we're coming in and like, wow, they care about me, they love me, they want to know what I'm all about, they want to know what I'm doing here. You know, when people care and see us, it feels good. There's something in us that comes alive. We feel alive when we're seen. Here's the truth. In the Gospels, Jesus does a lot of amazing things. He heals people. He feeds people. He makes water out of wine. I mean, he does these incredible miracles. But I would argue one of the greatest things that Jesus does is he sees people. He notices people. And not just important people, not just rich people, not just popular people, not just well-dressed people. Not just the rulers and the kings and the presidents and the famous people, but he notices the everyday people. He notices the low people. He notices the hurting, the poor, and the needy. And so today we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and we're going to look at a story about a man who goes unseen for much of his life, and we're going to see the impact it has when Jesus sees him. So let's watch.
Jesus goes to Jerusalem to a pool called Bethesda. Think high dive, cartoon character beach towels, one of those mushroom toys with the water streaming out, kids sitting underneath trying to drink pool water. Yeah, kind of gross. People are lounging around the sides of the pool soaking up rays. I bet there were some sick rays there. Wait, it's not that kind of pool. No high dive, no beach towels, no mushroom water fountain shower thing, not even sunbathers or lifeguards. This pool was surrounded by crippled people. Sick people. Not exactly a big selling feature. Come to our pool, where the crippled and sick hang out. But they weren't there for a damn. See, the story goes that every once in a while, an angel of the Lord would come down to the pool and stir the waters. The first person in the pool after the angel did this would be healed. So crowds of the sick would gather at the pool in hopes of being the first ones in when the time was right. Sort of gives new meaning to all swim. These people were overlooked, unnoticed, invisible. Instead of teaching on the side of a mountain, or enjoying a meal in the home of a friend, or relaxing on a nice vacation, Jesus goes to Bethesda. When Jesus gets to the pool, he sees a man who's been an invalid for 38 years. 38. That's almost twice as long as many of you have been alive. That's like close to your parents' age. Old. The Bible doesn't say how long the man has been at the pool. It doesn't tell us the specifics of his family, or even if he had one, or the circumstances that led to him being paralyzed in the first place. We don't know the specifics, but he probably would have tweeted, overlooked, invisible, missed the pool again. But not this time. Jesus noticed him and said, do you want to get well? Sounds like a no-brainer. Sure, Jesus. Yes. But there's a little problem. I can't walk. And I don't exactly see anyone around here willing to lend a hand. So Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Okay, the guy says, what have I got to lose? He gets up. Bam. Healed. No more days at the pool. So long, boys. Jesus saw those overlooked. He took notice and did something. Jesus sees invisible people. Jesus sees you. Even if you've been waiting a while. He hasn't forgotten. He still sees you.
Hey, feeling invisible isn't something new. It's something people have always wrestled with. It's something many of you wrestle with, and it's something we're always going to wrestle with, and it's something we get used to. Even in my own life, there was a time in my life when I was in eighth grade, and when I was in eighth grade, I was a very popular kid, and I'm not saying this to make myself sound all great. I just was. I was on the basketball team. I was MVP both years. I knew everybody. All the teachers knew me. I had this like really good track record. As a matter of fact, when I graduated, there's a special award they give out at my school in junior high, and it's called the Bernie Milroy Award. And I, as far as I know, they're still giving it out. And they give it out to one special student who was did really well in school and athletics. And they put me up in front of everybody and recognized me, and all the teachers clapped, and everybody knew me. And then it felt good, it feels good to be visible. But then I went to ninth grade, and I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden, nobody wanted to be my friend anymore. All my friends I had in eighth grade were all kind of like pushing me away. I didn't really have any new friends. It was a bigger school, didn't know anybody. And I remember I would eat lunch by myself. And I remember just to kind of cope, I would always just go play basketball at lunch because I didn't have any friends. And at least I wasn't sitting by myself. I was playing a game. But I remember I just felt invisible. I'd walk around and, try to say what's up to some of my old friends, and they would, they might just say what's up, but they weren't really engaging in conversation, or they'd walk away with some other friends. It was just really hurtful. And it was so bad that I told my mom, I don't even want to go to this school anymore. This isn't for me. And so my sister was going to a different school, and they're like, well, you want to try this school? I said, okay, I'll try it, And because my sister was there, a lot of the people knew my sister, and then it was weird. They all kind of wanted to know me because my sister was there. And so I get into this new school, and I felt like everybody wanted to know me. It felt really good, to be honest. And so I went from this situation where I was invisible to everybody to this situation where people wanted to see me and people wanted to know me. And it was like, it was really awesome. And so when I hear this story about the man at the pool, it totally resonates with me because I know what it's like to be overlooked by people every day. I've experienced that for a whole year. And that's not the only time. I can share about times when in my family with my father and all this other stuff, but I get it. And I also get what it's like when somebody finally sees you and how awesome that is. And so in many ways, I am the man at the pool. Right? I've experienced that. And maybe some of you have experienced that as well. In another way, in a very spiritual sense, we're all like that man at the pool. You see, before Jesus came to offer a relationship with us, before Jesus came to reconnect us with God, all of us were spiritually broken. All of us were looking for a way to access God. Romans 5, 6 says this. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and died for sinners. And the key word there is helpless. When we were helpless, when we couldn't help ourselves, when we needed help, when we were a lost cause. And the Bible says we're all born helpless. And so some of us, maybe you're in that situation right now. Maybe, you're apart from God. You're away from God right now. And you're thinking, man, I kind of understand God. I kind of can see God. I kind of know about God. But I really just can't get to God. I don't know how to do that. You're kind of like the man at the pool. You're hurt. You can see the water. You want to get in the water. You want to get healed. But you need help. You need help to get there. And that's where Jesus comes in. When Jesus sees us, right? What Jesus did on the cross is how he helps us have relationship with God. That's what the whole cross is all about, right? Jesus died on the cross so that we can be in relationship with God. And simply, how does that work? It's very simple. You say, you know what? Jesus, I messed up. I make mistakes. I've done things in my life that I know I'm not proud of. I've done things to people and friends. And man, you know what? I want to ask for forgiveness. And God is so loving, and God cares so much about us. He says, you know what? Cool. I forgive you. Now come with me. Through what Jesus did on the cross, come have a relationship with me. And that's the beginning of our relationship with God. And in a sense, it's basically Jesus coming up to us at the pool, taking our hand and saying, hey, do you want to be healed? And then putting you in the water. That's what's happening there. He's spiritually taking you and he's making you whole again, spiritually. And so before Christ, really you have no chance, no hope, no comfort. There's no joy, no peace, no purpose. Every day you're living your life and you're like, what am I even doing here? Spinning your wheels, trying to be the popular person, trying to be cool, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to make sure everybody loves you on Facebook, trying to make sure, you know, you're just spinning your wheels, but you really have no joy, no peace, and no purpose in life. And you're saying, God, I know there's more, I know there's more. And then when God sees you and offers you that eternal life, he offers you that help to get into the pool, he offers that thing. Jesus is like, hey, I want to connect you with God, right? But you got to respond. And so after Christ, then you have peace and you're healed. You have a future and a hope. Your life isn't all perfect, but at least even in the hard times, there's purpose and meaning and hope. Now, whether you know that because you've experienced it, or maybe you're here today and you're just like, man, I really need that. I'm really broken. I want to encourage you today that Jesus sees invisible people. And some of you are here and you got a really hard situation at home. Let's just get really honest. There's some stuff going on at home and you're like, man, I don't even know how to tell anybody because they're not going to understand. So you hold it in. And so even though you're with people or around people, you're never really being real with them. And so you feel invisible. And I want to encourage you that Jesus sees you. Some of you guys are just in relationships with friends and everything, and although you have friends around, you guys are talking, it's all surface, right? Nobody's really taking the time to get to know you. Nobody cares really who you are. And so you're hanging out with your friends all the time, but you still feel invisible. You still feel like nobody really cares. I want to encourage you that Jesus sees you. Some of you guys have had some really hard times with relationships. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it's a best friend. And you really didn't want this relationship to end, but now every time they're around you, they treat you like you're invisible, and it hurts. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a dad. And I want to encourage you that Jesus sees you. And maybe some of you still, you're sitting up here going, Daniel, I have no idea what you're talking about. Everything's cool. Well, I want to encourage you that everything won't be cool forever. There will be a time, when, whether it's you go off to college or you go off to the military or you move or you get a new job, where you will feel invisible. And I want to encourage you that Jesus sees you. And when you understand and you recognize that Jesus sees you, he cares for you, he loves you, the awesome thing is when you know that Jesus sees you, you will never be invisible again. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what it shows us, Lord, about how you love us, how you want to see us, Lord, and how we can see other people, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would be in every situation in this room, Lord. There is a struggle and a hurt, Lord, in every person in this room, Lord. There are people who are invisible to their parents. There are people who are invisible at their schools, Lord. There are people who have moved from different countries and they feel invisible in this culture, Lord. There are people who are brand new in all different places, Lord. Lord, there are people in this room today who felt invisible in this room, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that this would be a ministry, Lord, where everybody is seen, Lord. That we would be a representation of who Christ is, Lord, and that Christ wants to see everyone. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to see everyone in this room, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.